Welcome to Community Church's Sermon Podcast. We invite you to visit us online at www.ccfdl.org to learn more about our church and our ministry in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And now here is Adam Utecht, Senior Pastor at Community Church.
Well, since it's Father's Day and we did this on Mother's Day, I found some great Father's Day memes. And I apologize, that screen's not working, in case you didn't notice. A week ago, today, Sunday morning, the tech team came in here and Taylor heard the sound that you don't want to hear from one of these projectors, and it was like a fan running, and the bulb had burnt out. So there's no bulb, that's why we're only dependent on the one screen over here. And Taylor ordered another lamp for the projector, and he paid extra for it to be shipped in 2 days. And we still wait for it to come. So that is why we have the lift in the corner. It's a great decorative piece for Father's Day. We've been waiting and hoping, and it did not come. So that's the explanation for the screen. But everyone, direct your attention to the screen over here. I've got some great Father's Day memes. Let's put them up. Looks like we're going to have to cut it off. It's a dad thing to say. Let's look at the next one. Anybody identify with that? Okay, next one. Yeah, I know, I heard the moan there. That was okay. Next one. It's like printing my own money. That's from Toy Story 2, by the way. They go around and they turn off. Anybody else's dad turn off the lights constantly around the house? Okay, it feels like that's my job. But I love this one. It's my favorite one. Oh, ignore me. I'm just loading my rifle. Of course you can take my daughter to prom night. Okay. So, happy Father's Day to all the dads here today. It's certainly a day to say thank you, to celebrate dads. However, we recognize, and we were talking about this before we came out, when we were praying together as a worship team, this may be a very difficult day for you for various reasons. Maybe this last year, you lost your dad. Your dad passed away, and this is the first Father's Day without him. Maybe you lost your husband this last year who was the father to your kids, and this is the first Father's Day without him. So it's a day of remembrance and maybe a day of grieving. Maybe you're grieving for other reasons today. Perhaps your dad, you never knew. You never knew your dad. He was never part of your life, and that's painful. Or maybe your dad was abusive, or your dad was... maybe he was physically there, but emotionally absent. Daddy wounds are real, and they are deeply painful. Or maybe you really want to be a dad, but you're not married. Or you are married, and you haven't been able to have biological children, and so that's very painful. So today, Father's Day, like similar to Mother's Day, it can be a very painful day for a lot of people. It's not a happy day. But I'm going to trust that God will bring you comfort today, that he will be near to you, that he will show his kindness and compassion even as you deal with all those feelings today. We want to show love and appreciation and thanks to every dad of every kind today, and so we honor you, every dad here in the room, every dad watching online today. And rather than just speaking about dads or to dads, I want to speak to all of us today. Rather than lifting up dads, I want to lift up the giver of dads and teach us all about the nature of God and how it is reflected, even if imperfectly, in dads. The Lord God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, created dads. He created man and woman in his image. We see this in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. What's God's nature that can be reflected most often in dads? we'll talk about three. So there's three ways in which dads particularly can reflect God's nature. God is present, he is a protector, and he is a provider. And if you like alliteration, there you go. He is present, he is a protector, he is a provider. First, God is present. He is present. Now, dads can reflect God by being present. Of course, moms also can be present. In fact, we're thankful that they most often are present. But there's really something powerful about the presence of a father, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But God the Father is present. Listen to Psalm 46:1, one of my favorite psalms. It starts like this. God is our refuge and strength, a very, what? Present help in trouble. Later in the Psalms, we read in Psalm 139, where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I fly on the wings of the dawn and settle down on the western horizon, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. God is ever present. He is there as a loving father. One author says, the Lord doesn't relate to this world because he lacks something within himself. No, God draws near out of the abundance of who he is. God isn't present because he needs us. God is present because we need him. We need him, and so he is present. We don't need things. We don't need possessions. We don't need money to give us security. We need God's presence. This is clear in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? All we need is him. And he has promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. What an amazing promise. God is present. In fact, God became a human, putting on flesh and dwelling among us. The incarnation is the ultimate proof of God's presence with humanity. When Jesus was born and fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy, Matthew tells us, now all this took place, the birth of Christ, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated what? God with us. God is present. There's no greater evidence of God's presence than in the incarnation. God came to live with us and be present to save us from our sins. He came because this world is broken by sin, disordered. And sin has led to an epidemic of fatherlessness in our nation. We can see that really clearly. According to the National Fatherhood Initiative, based on the 2020 census, U.S. Census Bureau, 18.3 million children, that's one in four, live without a biological, step, or adoptive father in the home. One in four. Consequently, there is a father factor in nearly all social ills facing America today. The National Center for Fathering, according to a 2015 study, cites that fatherless families are four times more likely to be raised in poverty, 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances. 80% of adolescents in psychiatric hospitals come from fatherless homes. Kids in fatherless homes are 9 times more likely to drop out of school, 11 times more likely to have violent behavior. And the list goes on. I didn't even include all the statistics, but it's clear fatherlessness is having a huge impact on our society. So what can we do about it? You know, it feels helpless, right? When we see that, we hear that. What can we do? What should we do as followers of Christ? Well, we can start by being present, as God is present. So number one, how can we be present? Here's three ways. Number one, be physically present. Be physically present. So if you're a parent, if you're a mom or a dad, be there for your kids. Now, I know your job, your career may make that difficult at times. But when you do have the opportunity, be present at the ball games, at the concerts, at the plays, even the ones done in your living room. Be present. If you don't have kids, maybe you're not married, you don't have kids, you can be physically present with a young person, maybe a young person who doesn't have a father. Father figures are extremely impactful. Listen to the testimonies of a number of people who didn't have a dad, but someone else stepped in and was there for that person. Be physically present. That's the first way we can be present. Second, we can be emotionally present. Emotionally present. See, you can be physically present, but emotionally absent. Kids do not need a warm body. They need a loving, caring, listening, self-sacrificing adult to be present with them. Now, I recognize that that can be difficult. After a long, hard day at work, the last thing you want to do is come home and play Barbies or tea party or play catch in the backyard. You're tired. You may lack the capacity to listen to the problems of your teens when they had a bad day at school and everything is falling apart. The world is crumbling because of friends or whatever the case may be. Emotionally, that's exhausting. I know that. I get it. But we need to lay down our desires to kind of veg and check out. And we need to be emotionally present. That's a challenge. I know. Again, you may not have kids, so that's not applicable to you. But how can you be emotionally present for your friends, for your siblings, for your coworkers? It requires self-sacrifice. It requires the posture of, you know what, your needs before mine, you before me. That's what God has done for us in Christ. So we need to be present. We need to be physically present. We need to be emotionally present. Third, we need to be spiritually present. Spiritually present. If you are a parent, pray with your kids. Even if it feels awkward, you're not used to it, maybe start small, short prayers. Pray with your kids. Pray with them in the morning. Pray with them at night. Start there. Read scripture to them. Read scripture with them. That's how you can be spiritually present. Again, if you're not a parent, be spiritually present for your friends, your siblings, your coworkers. Pray for them every night before you go to bed. Maybe you can ask them, how can I pray for you specifically this week? And then follow up with them. That's being spiritually present. May we learn to be present as God, our Creator, is present. Second, God is present. Second, God is protector. God is protector. Now, I recognize there are plenty of moms, ladies, who could hold their own in a street fight. But by and large, a dad offers the strongest protection for his wife, for his kids. Let me give you an example. Before my wife and I were even dating, we were at Moody Bible Institute together, which is downtown Chicago, and Jill grew up in rural Kansas, and let me tell you, she wasn't in Kansas anymore. Oh, gotta have a dad joke in there somewhere. Downtown Chicago is a different world. And so she's going around, and her dad is concerned. He's like, Jill, you need to take a self-defense class. It was offered at Moody as a PE credit. So he's, Jill, I want you to take a self-defense class. You need to learn basics, you know. And so he was on her for that. And then not long after that, Jill and I started dating, and it was a serious dating relationship. And Jill was looking at spring classes and looking at taking a self-defense class, and she was telling her dad, yeah, I'm thinking about taking a self-defense class in the spring, and he said, oh, no, you don't need to do that anymore. And she said, why? He said, well, you have Adam. So here we have Jill, whose dad is watching out for her from afar, protecting her. And then her 6'4" boyfriend. And it's true, because before we started dating, and when Jill would go out on her own, go to the store, it's awful the things that men would say to her or about her when she would walk around. But you know what? When I was with her, they said nothing, because they're cowards. So there is a protection there. There's something powerful about a protection of a father. Now, I want to pause here because as we talk about this, maybe you've never experienced this kind of protection. And for this, I want to say I'm so sorry. This is not right. You see, men should protect people, not neglect their safety, or put them in danger, or worse, abuse them. It's wicked. And God, the Father, is not evil. He is good. God is a perfect protector. So I want you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. We're in the summer of the Psalms, so we've got to hit a psalm. All right, so let's look at Psalm 121. This entire psalm talks about one thing. God is our protector. Psalm 121. Let's start at verse 1. There's only 8 verses, and we'll just read it through. Psalm 121. I lift my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. Indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. The Lord protects you. The Lord is a shelter right by your side. The sun will not strike you by day or the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The Lord will protect your coming and going, both now and forever. This entire psalm shows us God as the protector. We saw that word 6 times in this psalm. God, the all-powerful maker of heaven and earth, will watch over you. Unlike human fathers, God never sleeps, verse 4. God is a shelter who is near, verse 5. God watches over us constantly, verses 7 and 8. Now my dad recently shared with me a psalm that he's been memorizing, Psalm 18. Here's Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. God is referred to as a shield 18 times in the Psalms. God is better. Don't miss this. God is better than Captain America's shield. Because that shield got broken. God is better because he is our shield. He doesn't give us a shield. He is our shield. Now, here's the question. This might pose a problem for you because you say, wait a minute. Does God protect us from everything bad? Obviously, no. We live in a world broken by sin, and we suffer the consequences of it. Not even our own sin. We suffer the consequences of other people's sins. God doesn't always swoop in and keep us safe from pain and suffering. And so it causes us to wonder. We say, well, wait a minute. If God is protector, why did he allow this in my life? Why is he allowing this right now in my life? How could he be a protector? How could he be all-powerful protector and allow this to happen? And you know what? I don't have an answer for you. I don't know. But I do know this. God did not protect his own precious son from suffering, being whipped beyond recognition, being scorned, being spat upon and beaten. God did not protect his own son from dying on the cross. He did it ultimately for our good, even though it caused him deep pain. God does protect all believers in Christ from eternal pain and eternal suffering. He does it by saving our souls from eternal death. And we see that in Ephesians 2. It says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God is the protector when it matters most. Psalm 56:13 says this, for you have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Since God has protected our souls from death, who can we protect? How has God positioned us to protect others. I thought of a couple of ways. One is that you can get involved at Caris Pregnancy Help Center. This is a great way to protect the unborn. Contact Barb Cools. I put her email up on the screen if you'd like to get more information on how to get involved at Caris. It's a great ministry that we support as a church. They're really looking for volunteer receptionists right now, especially, and mentors. So if you're interested, contact Barb. Kids, if there's any kids here this morning, I know there's some. Let me give you an example of a way you can be a protector, okay? You're at the pool this summer, and you see some bullies come along, and maybe they're starting to pick on a kid. What can you do? You know what? Maybe you need to speak out. Maybe you need to step up and say something. In that way, you're being a protector. That's a real way you can be a protector. One other way I thought of is an organization called International Justice Mission. It's a great organization that frees people, literally frees people from slavery all over the world. That's an organization that my family and I have supported for several years. Check out how you can join them at ijm.org. But there's so many other ways we can be protectors. But as Christ followers, we need to be protectors. And when we protect others, we are reflecting our Creator God. So God is present, God is protector. Third, God is provider. Provider. Now I know there are plenty of moms who can be the primary breadwinners. I'm not suggesting women cannot be providers. They certainly can, and they do. But the reality is that dads cannot give birth, nor can they nurse babies, nor are they usually the ones who stay home with the kids as they grow up. So dads often are the primary providers for their families, and in this way, dads can reflect God as the provider. Now, where does this idea of God as provider come from? The Hebrew name for God as provider is Jehovah Jireh. And this comes from Genesis 22. Maybe you're familiar with this story where God tells Abraham something unthinkable. He commands Abraham to go and take his one and only son and sacrifice him on a mountain. You can read this story on your own in Genesis 22, but the climax of the story is when Abraham took a knife and he was ready to kill his own son. And the angel of the Lord stopped him and told him, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him." And let's read in verses 13 and 14. Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." So today it is said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. Wow. God provided the sacrifice. This is a powerful pointer to the gospel. See, our sin, our rebellion puts us in a desperate position before a holy God. We are the ones who deserve to die. We are the ones that deserve to be slain. Our sin earns us death. But God provided. He provided the lamb to die in our place. The lamb is Jesus. Because on another mountain called Golgotha, God provided another sacrifice. His one and only son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus was sacrificed. He died in our place the way the ram died in Isaac's place. So let me ask you this morning, has the blood of Christ covered your sins? Has Jesus died in your place? Have you been forgiven once and for all? And you might say, "I don't know. I'm not sure." You can know. You can be sure by repenting of your sin, turning away from your sin and yourself, and believing alone on Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Acts 4:12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." We cannot provide for ourselves because we are dead in our sins. We are helpless and hopeless without Christ. We need him. So will you turn to him today? I hope you will if you've never done that. He can provide for all we need. If you're a believer in Christ, we need to remember what he did for us on the cross and remember that and know that he can provide for all we need. Romans 8:32 says this, "He did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything?" If God did not withhold Jesus, but provided him as the sacrifice made once and for all, he will certainly provide for everything else we need. Maybe not what everything else we want. There's a difference. But he will provide everything we need. In other words, think about it this way. If God provided the most important thing, then he will certainly provide the less important things, right? Jesus instructs us not to worry about the daily needs of life. He says in his Sermon on the Mount, he says, consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more important? Aren't you worth more than they? I know some of you love birds and you love watching birds. They're just not as important as you, okay? They're just not as important as you. And then Jesus goes on, talks about the lilies of the field, the flowers, how beautiful they are, how they're clothed. And he says, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? You're so much more valuable than birds and flowers. So much more valuable. God the Father is the great provider. Listen to Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And the key to that verse is the end of the verse. In Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ, he will supply all your needs. So I like to say it this way. If you have everything but Jesus, you really have nothing. But if you have nothing but Jesus, you have everything. He will provide for all you need. So if you have Jesus, then you can give generously because God has provided generously for you. He's given you everything. So how can I be a provider? I'll give you three ways. Three ways to be a provider. Number one, work hard if you are able. Provide for your family. Provide for yourself. 2 Thessalonians 3 says this. In fact, when we were with you, this is what we commanded you. If anyone isn't willing to work, he should not eat. For we hear that there are some among you who are idle. They are not busy, but busybodies. Now we command and exhort such people by the Lord Jesus Christ to work quietly and provide for themselves. It is a biblical principle to avoid laziness. Don't be idle. When there's work to be done, so don't sit around for hours playing video games online or binging on Netflix or sleeping all day. If you're able, you should work. We were created to work, to provide for ourselves and for others. Work hard if you're able. That's the first application, to be a provider. Second, share what you have with others. Share what you have with others. It's a way of, to be a provider. You may not be married or have children, so share with those in need around you. People around you need what you have. Maybe it's not financial. Maybe it's not something physical that you provide. Maybe it's your time, a listening ear. Maybe it's your talents, your abilities. We need to share what we have with others. Don't hoard it, but share it. In this way, we reflect God as provider. Third, provide spiritual leadership. Provide spiritual leadership. And we can all do this. We should all be spiritual leaders. Wherever God has placed you, seek to be a spiritual leader. Lead people spiritually. Challenge yourself to provide spiritual leadership. A dad is called to be the spiritual leader of the family, according to Ephesians 5:23. He needs to provide himself, even being willing to lay down his life for the sake of his family. Husbands are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Listen to Ephesians 5:25. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus provided himself for the church, and so husbands should provide themselves for their wife. So what did Christ do? He died for the church. He laid down his life. So husbands, fathers, I want to speak to you for a second. Let's lay down our lives for our families. That means maybe laying down the remote, right? Laying down our desires to relax. It may mean laying down our preferences for the sake of others. Dads, we can lead the way in this. It's a way to provide spiritual leadership. All right. So you may have been hearing this sermon today and you're like, it's about dads, it's about God as a father, and maybe you're stuck. Maybe you've been stuck since the beginning. Because it's just really hard for you. Maybe you're even bothered by the idea of God as a father because your earthly father failed you miserably. And so it's really hard to think about God as a father. Difficult to even think of him as a father because you've had such a painful experience with your earthly father. I want to tell you this morning, please hear me. God is not like your dad. He is a perfect father beyond what you can imagine. And we can see this, we get a picture of this in the parable of the prodigal son. Jesus tells this parable in Luke 15. And I encourage you to read this on your own today, Luke 15. So here's a dad who has two sons. We can't unpack the whole thing, but the younger son, outwardly rebellious. The older son, inwardly rebellious. But we won't get to the older son. The younger son comes to his dad and he says, you know what, Dad? You're as good as dead to me. You're dead to me. Just give me what I get when you're gone. You're already dead in my mind. Which is a horrible, painful thing to do and to say. It's unthinkable. And yet, shockingly, the father gives him his share of the inheritance. And the young boy just goes off to a foreign country and he spends it wildly on parties and women. But the money runs out, and so do his friends. And then a famine hits, and he is starving. And the only job that he can find is to tend one of the most detestable, unclean animals for a Jew, pigs. He's so hungry, the pig slop looks tasty. How hungry do you have to be to want that? He's hit rock bottom. And then he comes to his senses, finally. He is sure that he cannot be forgiven, so he rehearses a speech that he's going to give to his father to maybe allow him to simply live in his father's house as a servant, the lowest servant. So he sets out for home, and Jesus tells the story. So he got up and went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his servants, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it and let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. This is God the Father. He is present with his wayward son. He ran to him, giving up all dignity. He ran to his rebellious son and he hugged him and he kissed him before his son said a word. And he was emotionally present with him, not just physically. He is present. God is protector. And in this story, we see the father, he put a ring on his finger. This is the family ring with the seal of the family. And so by doing that, he's providing protection. He said, you're back in the family. The community cannot touch him. He is a protector and he is a provider. He clothed his son with what? The best robe. Whose robe is that? It's the father's own robe. He put it on him, sandals on his feet. And he provided an amazing banquet, killing the fattened calf, food, which was much, much better than pig slop. This is God. This is God the Father who provided everything. Maybe you find yourself today dead. Maybe you find yourself lost like this younger son. I want to tell you, God the Father is waiting for you to come. And when you come to him, he will run to you. Because he is present. He is a protector. He is the great provider. Will you come to him through his son, Jesus, today? And if you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, in what ways is God speaking to you today to be present, to be a protector, to be a provider? When we do that, we reflect our God. We reflect our Creator. So let's ask for his help to do these things as we go through this week. Let's pray. Let's pray together. God, we look at this topic of you, the greatness of your presence, the amazing protection that you give us, the way that you generously provide for us. And it's a call to us, it's a challenge to us to do the same, to mirror you as our Creator and our Father in heaven. And I pray that we would learn by your Spirit this week to be present in every way we can be present, and that we would learn to be protectors of others, that we would learn to be providers and sacrificially laying down our own needs to provide for others, and then looking to you to provide for us. And so, God, I pray that you would help us in all of these things. And God, we just think about you as our Heavenly Father. I pray that you would continue to amaze us with the truth of who you are. You are a good, good Father. It's who you are. And so we praise you and we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.